This is Shayna.
And Chris.
And we are bad queers. If you came out of the closet and got put in a box of stereotypes you don't belong to, then welcome to the Bad Queers Club.
All right. So this week in Queer Urban Dictionary, I have bi plus. Oh, bi plus.
Hitting that positive.
Bi plus, right, is an umbrella term referring to non-monosexual people with the capacity to be attracted to more than the binary genders. Bi plus folks may identify as bisexual, pansexual, queer, omnisexual, or polysexual. The sentence I have for this week is, bi plus was created to be more inclusive of all gender identities. Bi plus.
Bi plus. You kind of read that like that could be a commercial.
I felt like it was Colgate-y. It's kind of Colgate-y.
Casual, yeah. Colgate, where you get that fresh, where it's like bi plus.
Right. Exactly. Shing.
Get that little sign out there. So does that mean, but then is there like a pan plus or a queer plus? I be a queer plus?
I mean, I'm sure we could put a plus on any. We're queer, so we could do whatever we want with the language. Honestly.
True. That is true.
I mean, who's going to stop us?
No one.
We're black and queer because black people definitely, we do our thing with the languages. Like, you know, there's still people still saying bling bling when we let that go at least 25 years ago. So
bling bling. Still. Every time I come around, y'all say bling bling. No. I actually still do that when I visit friends. I still.
Older friends?
Yeah.
Okay.
Makes sense. Like, every time I come around, you'll say it. Yes. Okay. I'm sorry.
Y'all sing that together. I have so many questions, but it doesn't matter. None of them matter.
It's really just me.
Okay. Okay. So it's just you singing bling bling.
Get to the city. Yeah.
Got you. Every time you come around the city.
From the city.
Bling, 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 bling. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay, here I am.
Just had to make sure. We made it. We got there.
Just wanted to clear it up.
Yeah, we got it. We got it. Mm-hmm. All right, my Queer Urban Dictionary term of the week is rainbow washing. Hmm. So rainbow washing. So shout out to Queer Brown Vegan on Instagram for this definition. I thought it was a great phrasing of it. And so I am directly copying from them. Cite your source, peeps. That's what I'm doing. So. Rainbow washing, often referred to as pink capitalism, that is marketed from brands to express their solidarity with the LGBTQ+ community while not advocating for the community. So it's like you're selling, but you're not making anything here. That's where it is. Mm-hmm. Many corporations that sell pride merch are linked to private prisons, slave labor, and attempt to erase the work that Black and trans women have done for their communities and environment. So basically, they're trying to go rainbow wash, but they're also kind of whitewashing what pride was, you know? So it's like a mix of things, but we're talking
it's
about
like
rainbow washing.
Their prejudice is intersectional as well.
Oh, would you look at that mic drop?
Snap, snap, snaps.
Mm. So used in a sentence, it's Pride Month. Looks like every brand is about to rainbow wash their logo for a quick buck.
You know, when you said rainbow washing at first, I did think that it was a queer car wash, but this makes more sense.
Oh my God.
Wouldn't that be the coolest car wash?
Genius. How has a group of gay guys not come up with rainbow washing
because
and actually
queer
going
women
and just.
Should. Queer women should. And it actually, should be, a, look, it sh- there should be music, maybe a little
celebrations
area, a little food, maybe a food truck or two. So that look, that's another free idea
queer
we
DJs.
Gave out. Yep. Queer DJs. Yep.
And then they have nightly parties.
Yeah. You can wash people's bikes as well because that's pretty queer.
I was like the Jeeps, the Subarus,
Jeeps, maybe
the bikes,
skateboards.
The
I watched scooters. Betty, by the way, this one episode of Betty this weekend.
Ooh,
so
yeah, that's on my watch list. I'm adding to that.
You gotta watch it.
I'm ready. This week is about to be a lot of wonderful queer black energy that I'm going to be watching between Betty and The Shy and Disclosure and all of the things. Watching it, ready to go.
All of the
all
things.
Right. Some of that we are going to be discussing because it's time to hear about the stories you don't get to hear. It's queer news time. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go ahead and get started with That's So Raven actually got gay married. And I could not be more of a mix of emotions around
that. Didn't know where you were going to go with it. So,
you know, look, yeah. I'm just going to break down
the
things that I talked about, but it's just like, it's interesting because it's like, I have a love-hate relationship for Raven Simone, which I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
But
especially black queers.
Yeah. Especially because there was, what was that interview that she was doing it for where she was basically like, don't call me black and don't call me queer.
Yeah, the I don't see color thing. Listen, yeah. She is spot on to my theory that the longer you're famous, the more, well, I won't say crazy you are, but the more out of touch you are. Because, yeah, she was on the I don't see color. And I was like, I bet you don't. You were on the Cosby Show since you were a child. You probably don't. So you probably don't. I was like,
yep. So if you're not sure who Raven Symone is, if you've watched The Cosby Show, that's so Raven. Xenon Girl of the 21st Century, who she plays her best friend. She was also a Cheetah Girls member. Briefly on The View, came on, pissed off Whoopi Goldberg a lot. A lot. And now is back on Disney doing Raven's Home.
Hmm.
But still said not to call her black or gay. But cool, Raven Symone's gotten married. She's gotten married. She is married to Miranda Madej, which we had not heard of until this all came out. Because honestly, they did the thing that I appreciate. Mm. And we're going to deep dive into this more later. But they did the thing where I appreciate, where it's like, we had no idea that you were even dating anybody until your wedding day.
Yeah, I love when people do that.
That's the type of social media.
You have a relationship?
You were like, you were in a whole ass relationship. Yeah. And then only the people who are really like in your friend circle and are close to you were like, yeah, duh, they've been dating for like years. Like, the girl didn't even have a following on social media, which makes me even happier. And also makes me wonder, how did y'all meet? And please do an interview that talks about it, because I would love to know the space that this white woman, who looks just like basic and whatever else, and Raven Symone met. You know, that's not a thing. And so they left it with a really cute quote on Raven's Instagram that said, Miranda is a woman who understands me from trigger to joy, from breakfast to midnight snack.
Mm.
And if that isn't something we can all hope for in this queer world, then, you know, honestly, I don't know.
Because
once you have that midnight snack, like, you appreciate that's past point of dinner. That is there to understand that, yes, I will get out of bed to get a snack and leave some crumbs in here, maybe, because I'm hungry.
Ooh, I was going to just ask you that. Are you allowed to eat in your bed? Because I am not. And yeah, I'm actually not the person who leaves crumbs, because my wife will be the one, like, she can't hold on to her food very well at all. Like, I eat all of my food. Like, my dog doesn't even like sit in front of me. He knows it's all going down and all that. But yeah, like, I can't have food in bed. When she does have it, it's just amazing. I take pictures and everything. I'm like, just to let you know, these crumbs.
I was like, you better leave all of the evidence. Like, you have to have photo evidence.
You got to. That. You have to, because then they'll ask, like, when did this happen? And then it's like, fuck.
You know? Yep.
Yeah. So
be like, let me get that timestamp. No. Yeah. I just have my own self-rule of not really eating in bed. Like,
it's a good rule.
If I do, it's very rare. Like, it's, I'll eat like popcorn or like a piece of candy, but it's a very rare occasion if I do ever come into my room and sit and like eat a meal on my bed or eat something on my bed. Like, I rarely do that, and I don't do that really at my girlfriend's place either, unless we're like being cute and being like, here, breakfast in bed. But that happens like once in a blue moon. Don't think that we're that couple that does that. No, we sure don't. We sure don't. So yeah. So also, just to give you a lay of the land of what happened at the wedding, it was a cute little backyard affair because of Miss Rona. And Raven Symone had rainbow braids in her hair as well. They both wore suits. Raven was in black. Wife was in white. I don't know if there was more signs between the fact that her wife is white, Raven's black, and they were wearing, but you know, here we are. And
the colors,
all
were
I have
on
to
brand.
Say is the colors were very on brand. I was very surprised that she even did do the rainbow braids, honestly, but you know, she did it.
I was unpleasantly surprised to see rainbow braids, even though they did, whoever the stylist was, did a great
killed
job.
It. Yeah. Like, actually killed it.
Not gonna hate
it. And all I have to say is, with all of Raven's work on Disney, if they don't have their honeymoon at one of the Disney resorts, then were they really doing it right?
That's a good question to pose.
I just need to know.
The thing with it with Raven too that's a little sad is, like, she could be a queer icon, honestly, because she is iconic, honestly. Like, from Cosby to That's So Raven, Xenon was huge. Cheetah Girl.
Like, she is a talent.
Yeah. Like,
she
and
is
then
an absolute
also
talent.
Her contemporaries. I always like to look at like famous folks and compare them to the people that were hot at the time. Like, I know the Olsen twins still have money, but my God. Like, you know, those, she came up in that era, you know, of those child stars.
Honestly, she was winning in that era.
Yeah. Yeah.
She did that.
And
so
she's
it's
still
like,
relatively sane. Like, again, she's out of touch for sure, you know, but, you know, with the whole I don't see color thing and don't call me black and gay, but
those things. But if we ignore that, then she's actually like a prime bad queer.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly. She is. Like she's really unapologetic about herself. She's very much owns what she's doing. Everything is on her terms. So it's like, really, you just ignore those two comments? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Prime candidate for a bad queer. So
she congratulations, was also great on Blackish too. As
oh my Dre's God, I love every sister. Time she comes on. I know. Every time she comes on. Good. I'm just like, thank you very much for that. So yeah. So again, congrats, Raven. Congrats, Miranda. I hope you two are happy. Stay healthy. All of those things. Chris, what you got?
Yeah, I'm going to stay in the happy with mine because my last story is a little rage with that. But the Shy returned for season 3 this past weekend. This is Lena Waithe's first show that she put out that she executive produced and writes on. But season 3 of the Shy, the season premiere was so great. Episode was awesome. It starts with a beautiful and fun Black queer wedding. It was such a good reminder of how awesome our weddings and just get-togethers are in general.
I mean,
She even caught the like stereotypical but kind of funny like nosy aunts and cousins with like the crazy question, like who's gonna take whose last name and blah blah blah, like, you know, that they do. But it was a really good episode. I'm only bringing this up, and I know you haven't seen it, so I'm not gonna give any spoilers, because
thank you, I appreciate that.
It was such a really good season premiere episode. You know how some season premiere episodes are a little dry? It's like Lena went in. I was like, nah, I could write. So, but I'm just going to highlight the queer wedding and the queer sex scene, because honeymoon night, whole strap-on scene. I was like, I have like a whole sex scene. This is on Showtime. So it is a real sex scene, you know.
It's basically home for that. Exactly. Yeah.
So,
on Showtime, absolutely.
Exactly. You're going to see some authenticity with that. So yeah, it was the first time I had seen a Black queer stud strap-on sex scene on TV, so I was happy to see it, and it was a good scene. And yeah, I just loved everything about the episode that I can't give away yet. Like, even the stud's three-piece suit was wonderful. Everybody at the wedding was supportive, and they were mostly queer. It just was like, God, I would have gone to that, you know. It was
really cool. I'm about to binge.
You gotta watch it now. At least the first episode of the new season. And I'm glad again that Lena is back to form, because there was a lot of drama behind the scenes of The Shy. And, you know, it looks like she's getting back on track. And this season looks like it's just going to be nuts. Honestly, the first episode is just like, Jesus Christ, so much, so much, so much. And also, I mean, this is not going to be so much of a spoiler, but the mom is marrying, the mom of the little boy that's the main character, is marrying a stud that she wasn't dating the last season. Like, I don't know who this stud is. So there's that storyline too.
They pulled a Raven and Miranda. That's what they did. They didn't kind post of, it on social media. Yeah. They didn't talk about it. And then it was just like, I don't know.
I was wondering if Lena's going to like lean into the sneaky stud thing, because the stud,
where it's like, it goes back and it does the like 6 months earlier.
Yeah. Because you don't, you know, you remember the mom, a main character with like another woman in season 2. And then it starts season 3 and she's like literally getting married. And I kind of laughed because I was like, they U-hauled and got all the way to the marriage. I don't know. It doesn't look like so much time has elapsed between the end of season 2 and where season 3 starts. But very interested to see, because the stud is younger. Seems very...
This just sounds like a throwback moment, and I am ready to see that on TV.
Yeah.
You're like, just like, strapped it up. She's older. She got money. I don't know, because I haven't watched it yet.
She does have money, but like...
Well, there you go. That was it.
But wads of cash, mysteriously, and just like kind of handing it out to the kids, like, nah, leave that, you know, don't worry about them. I'm going to pay. And it's just like, oh God, what is this about to be? What does this stud do? Like, what does this stud do? So... we'll see, but happy to see The Shy returning. I think The Shy is on Showtime, but I think you could watch it on Hulu. If you guys haven't seen it, it's various stories about just different people in Chicago. Some really good storylines in all 3 seasons, but I'm excited for season 3. And yeah,
very excited. You gotta check it out.
Yeah, you gotta see it and let me know.
Where did
the stud come from? And I was like, oh God.
He's like, plot twist.
Yeah.
And they put the strap on in the first episode.
Strap on. I was like, okay. like even on, better. Like for real, you know, like real, like I was like, oh, real sex. Okay. We real
we're queer back sex. To yeah. real sex.
Real sex.
With the shy. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
yeah. So later last week, in positive news for the Democrats, mm-hmm. for the U.S., the Supreme Court was just having a field day with what they were doing for human rights and LGBTQ rights. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of LGBTQ immigrants. I mean, all immigrants, but we're just focusing on them, by upholding Obama's DACA program. Now, if you're one of our international listeners and you don't know what DACA is, it's D-A-C-A. It stands for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And basically, it is a program that allows some people who came to the United States, especially as minors, without documentation, to apply for a 2-year period of deferred action from deportation and a work permit. And so this basically like happens to a lot of kids who end up coming over with their parents, and the only thing they've ever known in life is the U.S. Like they've never been to their home country. They've literally grown up here as like citizens of the U.S. just without the paperwork. And so this program allows them to stay safe. And so in a 5-4 ruling, the U.S. Supreme Court decided that Donald Trump's attempt to end our forever president, Barack Obama's program, was arbitrary and capricious. That's what they said. Word. Yes. Right?
Like that one. Good
word. They put that in writing. And I was like, yes. So the ruling will protect nearly 700,000 immigrants in the U.S. from deportation while they work on getting their U.S. citizenship. And now, if we think about it, if we look back to like 2017, when Trump did a solid take back seat on the program, and you're just like, thank you, Supreme Court, for just like, almost like, you know, like when you go to reach your hand for something and your mom just like, that's it. She's like, right there. That's like what the Supreme Court has done to Donald Trump twice this week, because then he was trying to take away all of those rights from us for working and military things and all of that. And the Supreme Court was just like, nope.
Yeah.
Can't do that. And then he tried to do this and they were like,
what did I say? And I think they're probably going to pull a what did I say soon.
They literally, mm-hmm. I think that's what, if they have to do a third thing in the next like week, that is a full, what did I just say? Yeah. I was like, we're going to talk about this at home.
Yeah. They're gearing
and
up.
And that's what it is. So the fact that this happened, it's a huge benefit to LGBTQ plus immigrants brought to the U.S. as children, because they, if they were to return to their home countries, and they could face persecution or death if they return to those places. And so it's a huge win for them to be able to stay here, especially because they grew up here. They worked here. They don't know any other life. So they deserve to be here. And this was also like a plot twist surprise where everybody just kind of sat and was like, okay,
yeah.
Like, all right, Supreme Court.
It was
Court.
A really like, good week for common sense with the court decisions. I don't know. I didn't see if there was any other big ones that came sense. Out that were, you know, as big as the two that those, were announced.
Those two.
Yeah.
Honestly, two for big two with for the Supreme Court sense. This week.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, again, it's a, you know, for our folks that are international folks, it is a conservative court. So it is very surprising that they did rule in favor of some kind of liberal social issues, because, you know, you just don't know nowadays. You really don't. So common sense won again.
Yeah. Words like capricious.
I know. Capricious is a good one.
It just made it seem better, because then it made me think about the fact that like Donald Trump probably had to look that up.
Yeah, for sure. You know, well,
to be able to.
He looks but you also nothing know up. He didn't looks read it. Nothing up. Let's
he also
be clear.
Definitely did not read it.
Yeah, no.
But in a perfect world, I would love the fact of just like seeing him sit and try to use a dictionary. But, you know, here we are. Here we are. Two for two for the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Thank you for ruling in the common sense factor.
Sorry, funny little anecdote about my mom.
Side and Trump. Yes, mom.
My mom was like, I hope this doesn't sound, but sometimes when I pray, I pray something happens to him. She's like, and I feel so bad about it. And I was like, no, mom, don't feel bad about it. I feel like Jesus would let you have that. I honestly feel man. Like he would. He would totally understand. He's like, I don't know
That'd
how
he
got
That'd be like
as out.
You approach the gates of heaven and your mom's yeah. just like, look. And he's like, I already know.
I already know, Carolyn.
You good. Come, you good. Yeah. Just come on.
Come on in.
Come on. You're come not in. The only one.
How come your Jesus sounds you like your God sounds like Barack Obama? Come on, baby. Come on.
Because it's in. Only right.
Yeah.
It's only right where it's just like, Jesus, come on in.
Come on in. Child. Yeah. Come on,
yeah, I feel
girl.
Like it gives me like a little bit of like a like when Bernie Mac was talking seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Yeah.
pretty much just dead on. Mm. All right. Well, to our bottom of the barrel news, white gays are still wilding out here. Mm. Some journalists, and journalists, I use that loosely and as the most disrespectful
way. It's like
way.
Somebody who gave him a platform to write things down.
Someone who types.
Behind a computer.
Sometimes. Named Chadwick Moore this past Saturday.
Doesn't even deserve the name Chadwick.
I know. When I saw that trending, I was like, oh God, I hope nothing happened to Chadwick Boseman or he hasn't
right?
said
like
anything
Right, like we were
crazy.
Thinking of, yeah. you know, our Black Panther.
Yeah.
Our lead actor, our prime man. And then you go and you see this man.
This man.
And you're just like, ooh, you didn't even deserve that name. I'm sorry. Continue.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm getting like angry again. But Chadwick Moore fixed his dirty nails to tweet the following. I'm sorry, blacks, but you already have a month. Juneteenth isn't a thing. Don't colonize our month as well. Thanks. Sign the gays.
Wrong gays.
I'm just going to go through this sentence again.
Okay. Because somebody just leaned back with the hand on the chest.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. No, somebody is flabbergasted that's hearing this, but I'm going to repeat it again because it happened. I'm sorry, blacks, but you already have a month. Juneteenth isn't a thing. Mm. Don't colonize our month as well. Thanks. Signed, the gays. Do you know how nuts that statement is?
Yep.
Like how crazy that statement is. Like, it's so crazy being a black queer woman. I swear to God, some part of our identity is like attacked every fucking day. It's crazy. For a white man to use colonize is wild in and of itself. But
first of all,
let's just pass that, right? But also colonizing pride that was started
second
by black trans activists? Like what?
Second of all.
He's a journalist? Huh?
Third of all.
Does that make any sense? Like what? So I just want to point this out as you mentioned in your unpopular queer opinion, which I don't think is unpopular, but they're fucking up the brand, cis gay white guys, or just cis white guys in general, honestly. Fucking up the brand. This is another example of just how we're all not actually fam. And sometimes, you know, I do look at sometimes all cis white guys in general. I don't know who needs to talk to them. I don't know if it's white cis women, white trans folk. I don't know who needs to talk to them, but somebody needs to get their white brethren. Like that's a wild statement. Like that's a wild statement to say that he stood behind. Obviously, you know, that's probably trolling to get, you know, people to just even know who he is. I don't know who the guy is. I'll probably forget him next week. But I just, you know what, the most overt racism, and I will say this, the most overt racism that I've faced has been at the hands of white cis gay guys. Like, honestly, like I haven't, you know, it's a little under the radar with the other folks, at least growing up. But yeah, when I moved to California, I had two incidents in particular where it was just like, it was kind of a mind fuck because you get out here and it's like, queer Disneyland, but they're racist. You know? So it's like, what the fuck? Like,
that's how real Disneyland
is. Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
This is super fun, but it's racist.
But it's racist, right? So I don't know. It's exhausting. And another part of this too that like grinds my gears the most is that we get flack from our community because of like people like Chadwick saying just stupid shit like this, because I guarantee you somebody in our community who's already homophobic or even people who are just like in the middle of just like, they think of white queers when they think of the LGBTQ community, they don't even see us, but we're so separate from the white queer community. And this is another example of that. Like, in addition to all the obvious things, it's like, we don't even like think the same way. Like, to fix your mouth and say that is wild. And that could only come from that part of the umbrella. Like, aside from the only thing that us as a queer community has gotten, you know, right, is to me, is just like being able to put enough differences aside to make progress politically. Mm-hmm. But otherwise than that, I mean, honestly, if we were to keep it a buck, like, we don't all like each other. And especially along, unfortunately, along racial lines. But it's because of shit like this. Like, that's crazy to say, I'm sorry, Blacks, but you already have a month. Juneteenth isn't a thing. Juneteenth, I'm sorry you haven't heard of it before last week. It's been around. And then Pride Month was started by Black queer people. What are you saying? Like, some people are just, like, out there and just, I don't know. I saw that and I was just like, who the hell is this guy? And like, who, a journalist? Like, what? what kind of journalism? How? Like,
does he still have a job today?
How?
Did somebody bring this to his boss?
But you know, he's going to, like, somebody on the right is going to be like, oh, wow, who is that?
Right. It's like, this is going to be the new speaker of the house.
You're right. Exactly.
But it's
right?
Just like, no, we've got it. The Chads. The Karens, the Beckys.
Yeah, it is the Chads, though, right? It has to be the Chads after this.
It's so specific. And it's just like,
there's a lot of Chads.
I saw the thread of this going and I was so proud.
Yeah, they ate him up.
The whole Twitter thread, Black queer Twitter, showed up and showed out in the thread of it. I think we reposted it twice on our page, because I got on and posted it and then Chris got on and posted it later, and we were just like, it feels right to leave both of these up.
Yeah.
So head to our Twitter, everything, you can follow us at Bad Queers Pod, because we definitely posted it two times. So you can see the thread and the amazingness of Black queer Twitter showing up.
Yeah.
Showing out.
Wild. Wild. Nuts.
Like, just, that's all it is.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Can't even.
Yeah. But that's, it's like, you know, in our, on our side of things, that's like he's like the Candace Owens of, like, you know, that, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's going to be people who pander. And like, I don't know if the guy actually, I mean, he probably does believe that, but you know, it's just interesting. It's just interesting. And not all of us are fam, is just what I want to say. And that, yeah, you're right. I mean, they're fucking up the
brand.
That's
basically, that's all you had to say.
Fucking up the brand. Fam.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's all we have today. In our queer news segment, on to advice.
Let's get to our advice section. Send your emails and questions to at badqueerspod@gmail.com. You can also DM us your questions. But all right, let's go to the first one here. This is from Shona. Is this just you, Shayna, and you just...
It's, don't even.
It's literally just, it's one vowel different.
Do you know how that one vowel difference causes people to pronounce my name in 25 different ways?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotta be tough.
So let Shona have her thing. Watch it be pronounced Shauna, too.
Right. Watch it probably it. Is.
Watch it.
Okay. Look. Okay, Shona. What am I going to do? Shayna has a... Send something in. Am I a bad queer? I just came out to myself and accepted that I like men and women, but want to exclusively date women. Okay. Rock out.
Much better anyway.
Right. First woman I connect with leads me on, says she wants to be exclusive. But then even before we are able to meet up again, says that she just wants to be friends.
Tale as old as time.
Now that song's but
as much as we've mentioned Disney today, I'm surprised that didn't already just do it. So you're welcome. Yeah.
I'm already going through an emotional time and made myself vulnerable. Then she turns around, gives me a half-ass excuse and treats me like that.
Mm.
Am I doing something wrong? Not sure, but I just feel like a bad queer with being inexperienced.
No.
Thanks, Shona Shayna. Shona Shayna, you are absolutely not a bad queer, or whoever this is. That's just, you know, honestly, it's not uncommon. With this, as Shayna chimed in a couple times during this, but first woman you connect with leads you on, says she wants to be exclusive, but then even
that just means no. You're trying to be nice. I'm just like, no. That means she just wasn't ready. She liked the attention, and then she went. What was that movie we watched last week?
Pariah.
Yeah, that was literally what happened in that movie.
Yeah, that
where
is
she
what
went
happened.
And showed interest, did whatever, and then was just like, "No, we're good. We don't have to talk about
like
this anymore."
Reading back through this, I wonder how long she connected with that first woman and all that. But either way, if she said she wanted to be exclusive, and then
right, I was like, then that means like, there was some time.
I give it
a couple weeks.
But that's the biggest red flag you could get from somebody. Like, I wouldn't want to be with someone who's that fickle or just like lies. So there's that, but
It sounds like they were really back and forth too.
Probably.
Like, it seems like they were like, oh, when they did want to meet up again and they were able to meet up. And I'm like, ooh, that sounds like a type of person that cancels plans a lot.
Yeah.
And says they want to see you, but they actually really don't because either a side piece or they're not ready or whatever else. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. I'll say this, Shayna. Just go by actions, not words. So you know that now. Like if someone says they want to be exclusive, I mean, you're going to now, I would hope that you've learned to like, let's see what that actually means. Like, I wouldn't just like take people for their first words, like just see how that's actually acted out. Try not to be so trusting or at least trusting of words. I know that can it just kind of go left, or that person, who knows what was going on in their life. But, you know, if you don't want it to affect you in this way and feel like you kind of came up empty handed or like what happened or did I do something wrong? I would just not trust words and just kind of trust actions for going forward and all that. And cut that person off. Like, don't talk to that person again because they have their own thing going on. You don't need to deal with that bullshit. Like, and again, like, what a red flag. So take that red flag. Take it as it is. Like, you did nothing wrong with it. You're not a bad queer for being inexperienced. But these are things that you're just going to pick up on. Like, because I know this is literally, I would just call this college for me. So you're just going to have to go through this anyway. Like, it's, yeah, there's going to be that, oh, I thought you meant, but now she's hot and cold. No. Like, that's just part of it. And, I'm sure that, I mean, that happens in the breeder community all the time too. So don't look at it as it's a you thing. It is a her thing. Move on. You don't need to, carry on or even connect with that person. They sound like they have a lot going on. So I would just steer clear. Like, that's the sign. That is the sign. That is, yep. That is the sign. So
that's the sign.
That's it.
That is it. And that's, I can't. I co-sign on everything else that Chris said. So
blocker. Blocker. Yep.
Our next Am I a Bad Queer comes from Anonymous. So I'm going to name Anonymous Maggie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why not? And this one is pretty short to the point. So Maggie says, so I identify as an asexual lesbian, but does it make me a bad queer because I don't want to have sex? I'm already, as a Black woman, people over-sexualize me. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Maggie. All right. To the point, Maggie. Okay, yeah. Girl. Okay. So I love that this came up because this is actually like great timing. So not to say that I don't already have like other advice, but I was watching Sex Education on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I mean, the second season. They have an episode that discusses this. And I wish I directly remembered what the mom said, but she was basically like, sex does not complete you as a person. So it's just like a thing that happens in life. And goes from there. So you are not like missing a part of you, or you're not complete because you're not having sex. Like, you literally said it. Like, you recognize that you are an asexual lesbian. That, like, asexual, that means like you just don't, it's not what you're about.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It's just because of the things that we put out to the world that make it seem like we just have to be having sex because everybody puts the pressure on there because we've created this narrative and done whatever. It's the same thing that we've done with race. It's the same thing that we've done with wealth. It's the same thing that we've done with so many things. And sex is just one of them. So when, yes, you are absolutely correct. Like, people over-sexualize Black women so much. And that stems from a lot of like racism and not putting Black women as worthy and things like that. And art that used to over-exaggerate everything. So then it became an expectation that Black women's bodies were going to look this way. You are not a bad queer for feeling like this way. And it doesn't make you a bad queer for not wanting to have sex. And you're going to find somebody who is going to love and appreciate you in the same way and work with you on whatever you want to work on. But like, if you never want to have sex in your life, like, cool. You might find somebody who's going to do that. And it's not going to make you any less of a person because you're just going to continue to be a badass. And that's all it is.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. And Maggie, this is your life to live. So,
I was like, honestly, totally sex causes so many issues in other relationships. Like, be happy that you're not.
It complicates so much. I was about to say, too, that there's a lot of things that are just as good, if not sometimes better than sex. So, you know, she's probably less complications in life.
That's a lot of less complications besides the fact that you have to constantly feel like you have to explain yourself.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, I don't. So
and you don't even have to explain that. I think that like that is what it is. Like once you tell people how you identify and this is how I feel, that's it. Like you don't have to, they might have some questions or whatever, but like I wouldn't feel like you have to be moved from that. Like, you know who you are. Again, you only have one life to live. I really wish that YOLO wasn't a thing because it, say it out. Like, it really,
like you start to say it out really loud and then you're like, oh, like, well.
Fucking YOLO. God.
Yeah. And if you ever feel like, I feel like some part of this, like, I feel I'm reading into it. I mean, you literally sent us two sentences, but I feel like reading into it, you might, when you're going into these conversations with people, because it sounds like you might have, be like, as if I could pass along my confident Black queer woman energy to you to just like hold onto your narrative. Like when people come in and they're just like, yeah, but that doesn't make sense. And I just be like, yeah, cool. That's what it doesn't make sense. And we're going to keep it moving. But here we are. Like, keep it to the point. If make sure that like when you're discussing it, your boundaries are firm. Like if you want to sit and have this discussion as an adult and you have genuine questions, then I am more than happy to have this conversation. But if it's going to lead down the road of this statement, this triggering statement, this ignorant statement, then I'm not going to have this conversation with you. Point blank, period.
And that's like, it.
You lean into that confidence and own it, and you could probably offer more help than anything else. And so, yeah, you are absolutely not a bad queer. You own yourself and own your identity.
Yeah. And you also don't owe people shit. So,
nope. Mic drop.
Yeah. All right. Callie is our next Am I a Bad Queer? Callie says, I've just turned 27 and it's got me thinking about being true to myself. I'm a bi cis female, but I'm not out. My closest friends know that I'm bi and I've been open about dating girls and guys to whoever asked. However, my immediate family doesn't know anything. Their views are on the conservative side. My dad once said a few years ago that he's glad I'm normal, meaning that he's glad I'm cis straight. Mm. I got engaged last year to my boyfriend of 6 years. We've had ups and downs and broke up in the middle where I went back to dating girls for a little while. I want to know if I'm a bad queer by not being open about my true self. I'm worried about my family. I'm worried my family won't really see me as bi as I look straight, since the person I've fallen in love with and want to spend the life my life with is a male. Sorry, I got a little choppy there at the end. You know, reading. Callie, this is kind of to Maggie's thing. Like, you are an adult. 27 is... 27 is... You are probably paying some big bills right now, I would think. You know, not everybody, but you're still an adult. You are... You know, you are firmly into your adulthood. It sounds like it is a lot of like what people around you think, more so your family, which is like, yeah, of course we grow up to think about that and care about that. However, you have to get to a point as an adult where you understand like you are firmly living your own life and like, your mom and dad are going to have opinions, but if they're not controlling your finances, that's the end of the list. if they're not controlling your finances, honestly, you're an adult. You could just be like, mm-hmm. Like you, it doesn't, who cares? Like it, there's nothing they can do about it. They could say or feel how they want in the same way that you can do whatever you want and feel what you want. So, I mean, listen, with it being up and down, I know you were engaged for a little while, went back to dating women. It's okay. Like, I think it's just a lot from what I'm getting. I don't know, Shayna, am I missing something with this? I feel like it's just a lot of other people's thoughts.
And you're not wrong. Yeah. So they got engaged last year to their current boyfriend, now fiance. So yeah, it's like, look, it sounds like you've listed out the people that you care to know. Like, that's what it is. But it sounds like because of how you're feeling about your family's opinion means that you're close with your family. And this is potentially like the first time that you've had to keep something that's so serious about yourself hidden and pushed down. And it's a shitty space to be in. But like Chris said, check finances. Like, if you got that house and you got that, like, you're engaged. So if you're engaged, that means you probably were able to afford being engaged. Okay. I know that that's not the statement for everybody in the world, but I'm going to say that since you're engaged, you can afford to be engaged and you are about to move forward with your partner. And it sounds like, you know, your partner knows what's going on and how that is. That's a communication point that I suggest in relationships. Your closest friends, and you're not hiding that for anybody, whoever, like, it doesn't sound like you're putting yourself out there to be like, here, everybody, come into my business. It's like, oh, if you ask, I'm not going to hide it. Like, that's where it is. So it sounds like there's a solid basis in you owning yourself, which is awesome. And in the spaces that you want to own it. And it sounds like you want to continue to expand it. I mean, we're all sitting at home with a lot of time to think on our hands. And this has probably been at the top of your thoughts. So if you're feeling confident in that space, I giggled a bit because when you were like, if they have no control of the finances, and I was like, I wonder how much they're paying for the wedding. So
well, it might be a smaller wedding, Callie, but you know, you may not have a reception, Callie, but you are
I don't know if it's going to be an open bar anymore. You might have to tell your friends to bring some stuff.
They might have two drink tickets, but that is fine because it's your
day. But one of the things that I do love about more conservative families is that once they are able to kind of see that somebody in their family is in one of these identities that they did used to like shit on or like make these like side comments, that it expanded their mind and openness and willing to be open because they have somebody in their house that they love.
Yeah.
And they have to like sit and do that. So if you're willing to take that chance, I think it would be good for you. And knowing that your now fiance has your support, and even I could even suggest like doing it with him to go and sit and like have that conversation. It doesn't even have to be like a big deal. You can sit and just like make the comment and then be like, cool, can you pass the corn? Like, and keep it moving. Like,
I feel like your dad said that because he thought he was in a safe space. Like, he thought he was a safe, cis, straight place. And he could say that, you know, but.
And people make those assumptions, but this is a whole new world.
I know. I actually think it, you know, when I was growing up, and my dad made some homophobic comments, and I was like, I always knew that I wanted to go off to college and then come out. And I just, as a teenager, I was already angsty, and just, we would go back and forth. And I just could not wait to tell him. All that. So I found it delicious, but I did have the thing of, okay, well, let me make sure. It was really the finances, honestly. So once I was like financially really independent from my parents and everything. And by that time he was like, fine. So, you know, it took kind of the satisfaction of, dad, I'm gay. But still, like, there was just something to that. So I don't know, maybe look at it that way, where it's just like, maybe that's a mouth drop moment for him, because it's like, he thinks he can make those statements or have those beliefs. And it's just like, you should let him know, hey, like, you're bi and you're fine. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think you have to explain out the straight part. I know that that's also the big part of this, is that you're worried, again, your family won't look at you as bi because you're marrying a man, but you're still bi. And I think you should be bi and proud still, you know what I mean? You could be married and in a relationship and still, you know, obviously you're still fam. Well, you know, I should probably stop saying people are fam, honestly. I should really stop saying that. So you might be fam.
It's still questionable on
you
whether
could be fam.
I was like, you could be like one of those cousins that was twice removed, but still potentially fam.
Exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't worry about any of this. It's fine.
Like, it sounds like you have a great support system as is. And if you decide to take this step forward into opening up to your family or people that you've wanted to talk to and whatever else, lean on that support system. Talk to them ahead of time. Let them know kind of like what you're doing and all of that, and know that you might like let them know to be on the waiting list to be like, hey, guys, might have to lean on you a little bit.
Yeah,
do that. But it sounds like you have an amazing group. And we are both here for people who want to go out and be true to yourselves, because that's only the best way. Remember, you're bi when you wake up, you're bi when you go to bed, you're bi when you wear Crocs.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll still own it.
Yeah.
You're bi when you decide to go vegetarian. We're bi when you decide to do anything else. Own it, live it, yeah. Breathe it. Thank you for writing in, Callie.
It's words to live by. You are by when you wear Crocs. So it's words to live by. Words to live by. Thank you, Callie.
Watch somebody come up with that as a campaign. I'm done.
Well, you are by when you wear Crocs. Yeah.
Yep. Maybe. That's it.
Yeah. Or queer as hell. Like me. All right. Well, that is the end of our Am I a Bad Queer advice segment. Send your questions to badqueerspod@gmail.com or DM us, continue to DM us on our IG at badqueerspod. All right.
Yes. It's time. What type of bad queers would we be if we didn't have unpopular queer opinions? And
I think I'll go first on this because yours is robust.
Oh, it's robust.
I feel like it is. Like it's more of a discussion point. Mine is more of a reminder. And just it's a stern encouragement.
Stern reminding.
A stern reminding. Maybe a stern encouragement, because you know I'll always like keep it a little softer there. A stern encouragement. Bedazzle your mask. Accessorize your mask. You know, just again, coordinate your mask, but don't take your goddamn mask off in public. COVID is not gone. This isn't over. I'm not even sure we're out of the first wave.
We're not.
As you go out, which I know we all want to, it's summer. We all want to be free. You know, I want sweat to roll down my back too outside. But for God's sakes, keep your mask on. Like, I know it's not just breeders, but it seems majority breeders that has a problem with all this that's going on. Well,
also in the cis white gays who keep partying in the streets.
Yeah, with them, which I'm not going to say anything with that. I was about to go
hashtag trending.
Yeah, I was like, I have to wear one. But everybody else, just wear your mask. Like, I don't know why. And this is a purely, I feel like, American thing at this point, because white people's president hasn't worn his mask at all. So like that is obviously
even
like what people
six
see.
Of his campaign managers just got COVID-19 before right. his Flop thing in Tulsa rally. And then you sit and watch his whole Secret Service team all wearing masks and
all
then
of them.
They're just like, no, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
Shout out to the TikTokers who ruined his rally, by the way.
He all the TikTokers, bragging. All the K-pop stans. Oh,
so funny. These Gen Zs.
The
God
children.
Damn it, I love y'all. I love y'all so much.
What do they call
so
them?
Much.
On Twitter, they call them Zoomers.
The
and
Zoomers?
I was done.
Oh,
they
that's
call them
perfect.
The Zoomers. And I was like,
oh,
this is
God.
Actually brilliant.
That is brilliant.
This is brilliant.
The Zoomers, the Gen Zs, I love them so much. They could have all my things, honestly. They can start leaving
They've
the country tomorrow. I would offer them. Well, not. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go that far. They don't need.
I was like,
country.
We still don't Maybe forget some... about the Tide Pods, but they have
yeah.
made progress.
Yeah, I was like cabinet
Lots
positions. Maybe cabinet positions. You know what? I just saw, which I'm sure. Obviously, the trend hopefully will change, but there hasn't been a Gen X president, and we damn sure are not about to get another. We're not going to get a Gen X president again. I feel like Gen Xers better, you know,
get somebody
shit together.
In the,
yeah,
somebody
like,
in the
what
house?
Y'all doing? Like. We keep having these boomers out here, like, and even if we would have, you know, Bernie would have broken through or Elizabeth Warren, like, I just thought that was interesting. Like, just no Gen Xers yet. I don't know their range, but I know at least half of their range has to be in that like eligible category. So I don't know what y'all are doing, Gen Xers, but you know, who knows? Anyways, keep your goddamn mask on. Nothing has changed. I don't care how uncomfortable it is. It's saving someone else's life. I'm not concerned personally of getting COVID. Not really. It doesn't keep me up at night, but I, for damn sure, if I'm going to leave this house, I'm going to throw a fucking mask on. Like, it's a virus, guys. It's a pandemic. Like, it's not like we could just wish this away or just ignore it. And, you know, that's such an American thing to do. But please bedazzle it, accessorize it, coordinate it. I don't care what you do.
Whatever motivates you to keep it on.
Put it
your
the
face.
Fuck on. Keep it on. Keep it on. Just keep the mask on, please. That's my bad queer opinion. I don't know. I feel like our community hopefully is adhering to these things, but I just want to just remind stern encouragement to wear your goddamn mask. Okay. Stern encouragement.
That's wear
it.
Your goddamn mask. Motherfucking mask. Put your mouth on your face, bitch. 2+2 means wear it on your face, bitch.
That's exactly it. That
no
is exactly
nipple, low titty, have it. Still put the mask on your face, bitch.
Put it on all the way too. I'm sick of that. Just It's like mask. Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew? Jesus. Just wear your mask. All right, Shayna, I like your bad queer opinion. I'm ready for this.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. My bad queer opinion this week is that not everybody needs a couples account.
Mm. Talk about it.
I'm going to say it again. Not everybody needs a couples account on the social meds. Okay. We don't.
Social meds.
We don't need it on the social meds. Okay. Because see, here's what happens.
I'm sorry. I love shortening words and I love social meds. I'm sorry. Yes. I love it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're welcome. You're social welcome. Meets. Yeah. With the social meds. Because here's what happens. Okay. This is my experience and I'm sure Chris will have another one to expand on this. But so I'm going through my Instagram, normal day like any other. And I come across on my Discover channel, another queer couple that has made an Instagram account that has a username that somehow, but not really that cute, combines their names or says that they're traveling the world or they're doing whatever. Okay.
You said combine their names.
And I typically want to pass these because, you know, if I come by some of the straight couples, I'm just like, I can keep it moving. Like, it's fine. We see that all the time anyway. It's fine. But I come across yours and I feel obligated to follow you out of solidarity. Okay. And a lot of you are not doing a lot of interesting things. There are some couples who are doing amazing things and going and editing stuff. Some of you are just day-to-day life with your animals in your house because that's all we're doing right now. But you were doing that before the world was doing that in a pandemic. Okay. So because I now feel obligated and committed to you to follow it, all of my feed becomes all of these couples that I don't give a damn about, but I felt like I needed to support you. Okay.
It's like you're mad at them and Instagram. Like the algorithms.
The algorithms are fucking it up. The people, okay. Not every couple needs a couple's account. So many times I am of the person, like it took almost a year before my girlfriend made it on my Instagram account.
Mm-hmm. Did you and present like then, a plaque or? Like a poster.
Yeah, you would think so. I gave her like a high five and a fist bump. Like that was.
Well, here's the question. Did she want you to post her throughout that year? Did you get any questions about,
both of us, it was a thing where it was like, okay, who's going to be the one who posts first?
Oh, that's fine.
And then she did it. And then she did it a couple of more times. And then she was like, wait, are you going to talk about? I'm like, what? I talk about you to my friends. Is that not enough? Like,
it's not they real. Know you Shayna. Exist.
They know you exist. They FaceTime her and see that she's real. And even then, oh my God, when I even did my first actual posting of her, it was a cycle of like 10 photos and she was like photo number 7. And then I was like, look, you made it on the grid.
That's
like,
some queer fuck boy shit. That's so funny. You put her on slide 7. Yeah, girl, got you on there. You up there. Slide 7. People I'm drop like, off after 4.
I'm like, you told me to put you on there. You didn't say where, when, how. So she's made a couple of Facebook, but that's
Let
what
me
I'm
find
saying.
Out, Shayna.
Oh man. Oh man.
Being a queer fuck boy. Yeah, you know, I would never.
Know,
look, you on slide 7.
I love my girl. She good.
Yeah. That's what they're saying to this too. Nah, we love each other.
No, I totally love her. It's fine. But yeah, it's just like, it's a whole thing. And I'm like, look, not to hurt anybody's feelings, but it probably will. Told you, you came here to get offended a little bit.
Yeah.
Not all of you need to document your lives. I know that we live in an era where there's a lot of opportunity to be like influencer famous. Put it out there. Majority of you are not it. Just post on your normal Instagrams every once in a while, cute photo that I'm more than happy to engage with.
Yeah.
In between your, I went to work today. This is how I'm chilling. Watching this movie. Here's a cute picture of me and my girlfriend. Amazing. I love seeing the normal life things. That's what I want to see. That's what's going to happen. And that is how I feel. Please don't make me continue to feel obligated to follow all you bitches. Excuse me. Wonderful couples to fill up my algorithm with the, yes. That's it.
Shayna, you got to stop hitting that follow button as well. You got to clean up the algorithms. You got to flush it out.
I'm here for the community.
Got to flush it out.
Community. That's all it was. Yeah.
And if you are going to start a couple's account, like make sure maybe you should plan the content out or something. But at this point, it's
you don't
super
have time
saturating.
To make a content calendar for yourself. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Yeah. It's super saturated. Like, it was cool at first. Like, I remember seeing it and it's like, oh, no. Now there's like YouTube channels. I'm sure there's OnlyFans. Or make an OnlyFans. Like, you can make a couples OnlyFans account, but don't get on
Instagram. I've seen some couples who did the couples OnlyFans.
I bet. Pay these bills. Joint bills. That's you know? This is our travel money. So, you know, do not create any more accounts, though, if you don't really have anything to, you know, kind of bring to the table at this point.
Honestly.
Yeah, we're just discouraging that. It doesn't mean you can't. Just don't, you know. So
we should make a graphic that says when you can make a couple's account.
Yeah, like a checklist. Like, you have to meet some like parameters and everything. But yeah, no, I had to stop following. I do follow the shout out pages now. So that is like my way of like still supporting. Cause I know what you mean. Like, you see it and you're just like, oh, black love. And then it's just like, damn, it'll fuck up your algorithms. And then it's just only queer couples where you're just like, all right, I don't want to see you make Easy Mac together.
Right.
You know, no, that's a good shout for that.
Thank you. Strong feelings there. That was it. Okay. So, you know, thanks for joining that ride with us today. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But of course, we're not going to leave you without giving some shout outs to our faves this week. Mm-hmm. So I have two because it's only right, especially with the second one. But the first one, I'm going to give a shout out to Trans/Media. Again, Trans/Media. They are an amazing media company that tells trans stories to save trans lives. And they have been working on this amazing documentary. So by the time, again, we've told you our recording schedule. So by the time that this recording comes out, the documentary will be available because it comes out this Wednesday. And it is called The Future of Trans. And it's led by the queen herself, Amara Jones, who is the creator and producer of Trans/Media. And the documentary goes through and explores trans futures with some amazing, creative, talented, beautiful people in the trans and gender nonconforming communities. And I knew about this happening a few months ago, and then Corona happened, and then all these other things. So it's been delayed, and I've just been waiting for this to happen. And I just want to encourage all of you. It comes out on Wednesday, the 24th. And so by the time this comes out, it will have passed and you will have time to go and see it. So go check out Trans/Media. They have amazing resources and content and everything else, but also check out this documentary because it deserves to be watched because it's actual stories from actual people.
Do you know where it's streaming at?
I'm not 100% sure. I think it might be on YouTube, but check out their website, check out their Instagram.
Okay.
Everything's at Trans/Media. So they'll be able to do it. They're doing a live watch party on Wednesday, which you all will have missed by the time this comes out. So sorry, not sorry.
You're missing it right now.
You'd be like, sorry. And it's like, you get that FOMO when you're like, oh, like I didn't even know about it. And now here we are. So
now it's passed.
Not sorry about that. Go watch it. Go support them. All of that. But I not go through this week also without shouting out Beyonce for doing that thing you do. When I had a feeling, I had an ink, I had a, like, it was like the beehive was coming through for a little bit and I felt it. And I was like, do you think that she could go by Juneteenth without doing anything? Of course not, because it's Beyonce. Okay. She came out on Juneteenth. She posted a 30-second teaser of the Black Parade song. And I, of course, am signed up for her notifications. So I was on it when there was still like under 100 views. Okay. Yes, of course. Yes, so, I follow everything.
So you're the top 200. You're the first 200 that got on there. All right.
Yep. I am one of those.
I hope that gives you like some like beehive like coins or.
I hope so.
I don't know.
I've at this point, I'm working really hard on it. Yeah. Honestly. And so it was like at the point where like she hadn't even switched the link in her bio yet.
Oh, wow. Oh, you're like that early.
Was how early, that early we were. And it was incredible because we hopped on so soon that I didn't even know where to find the song yet. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew it was going to be on Tidal. I knew it was going to be everywhere else. But then it was like, oh, the link hasn't even changed. And then I was like, I don't know if the song is out. I don't know if she just did this graphic to just highlight the link. So basically, Black Parade, she did like a whole link of shouting out different Black businesses and in different areas. So she did like beauty and health and wellness and design and like spaces that you don't normally hear about Black people. And so she made like this whole list of it. And I was like, okay, there has to be a song. There has to be a song. There has to be a song. It was late at this point. I went to bed. sweet dreams, knowing that the next day I was going to wake up to a Beyonce song. What happened? I woke up the next day to a Beyonce song and said, Alexa, play Beyonce's Black Parade on repeat. And did I do that for 3 hours? And then a few more hours later? Yes, I
did. That's it?
That was the morning stretch and then the rest of the day. And then I downloaded it and streamed it some more.
Only 3 hours. I thought you were
3 hours for the first part of the morning.
I thought you were a fan. Just 3 hours?
Say shit like that. Don't you come in here just and 3 hours? Shit like that. Don't you come in here.
I don't know.
And say shit like that.
I feel like it's like, it has to be at least five, but you know, who am I? You know?
Yeah. How many times did you listen to it?
Probably a strong two.
Yeah, whatever.
I didn't get an alert. So I did not get an alert. So two, I was probably number 4 million to hear it. So there you go. In your face.
You're like, there I am.
Yep.
And thank you.
But as I text you about that, I have titles. So, you know, I see her whole playlist, her Black Parade playlist that she made, or I forgot what the name is of it is. It's something about the motherland, but she has a whole Black Pride like playlist. That's awesome on Tidal. It's probably on other streaming platforms now.
If it is, it's only on like Apple Music because she's not giving anything to like Spotify or anybody else.
I bet she's like, no. Yeah,
she's like, just like she said, if she gave two fucks about streaming numbers, she'd have put Lemonade up on Spotify.
Yeah, she told you folks. Told you folks.
So but yes,
that's cool. It's always great. She's just, I mean, just wonderful.
Just
the queen. We don't deserve. We don't. I know we joke about this, but we really don't.
But it's a fact that we don't deserve Beyonce.
You know what? And what sucks is like, just like with other legends, I'm sure you just don't know that you're like living in the midst of it. You know, like I feel like some of the icons, obviously you have those moments where they're big, but we're not going to appreciate just her artistry until she stops, you know? And I don't even know what that even looks like. I did want to ask you this though. What are your feelings about her acting? Because I saw that she signed a deal with Disney and, you know, there were the jokes out there again. Do you think she's getting better at it? What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I think Disney will be able to find characters that
for Beyonce, yeah,
what she's doing, because like some of the other like things that she's done, like Beyonce and Dreamgirls, great.
Yeah, Cadillac Records, wonderful,
right? And things like that. And then it's like I think back to
Fighting Temptations or what was that terrible one with Idris Elba, but that was a horrible movie. That's not her fault.
That one like wasn't her fault, because a lot of people like compared that, or like Pink Panther.
Oh my God, she was in Pink Panther. But
yeah,
you know what overshadows it? That her songs off that were really good.
Exactly. And so it's like the fact that
whatever that song was, the Blow Your Horn.
Check Up On It.
No. The Child
Check Up On It was now. Well, oh, yeah, there's Pink Panther. That one.
I'm sorry. Austin Powers is what I was thinking of. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I was like, no.
Like, no. Don't. Yeah, no, I was thinking of Austin Powers.
I said
Powers
what I
too.
Said about the Beyonce.
Was she in Austin Powers, the movie?
She was in Goldmember.
She was in Goldmember, right? Okay, yeah. Just like a cameo appearance. Well, that song
not just a cameo appearance.
Was she really in it?
She was in that.
I have not seen any Austin Powers.
I'm going to need you to go watch that again.
I am not watching Austin Powers
That started like a whole year of her with her fro.
I would listen to the song and that would be like watching the movie. I will not give up my time to watch Goldmember. Okay. No.
You're like firm foot
down.
Yeah,
and
that's
on period. Like honestly, that's another horribly written movie. But no, she. I mean, the Carmen thing, the MTV hip opera. Yeah.
That's what it was. But yeah, I think Disney will find the things that
they'll find something,
fit to her stuff.
Yeah. She can sing, you know. She has a good voice and all that.
I mean, obviously,
I don't think
it's Beyonce.
Lion King was it, because it's just too hard anyway. I still haven't seen the live action.
I was like, haven't even seen it. So how are you going to talk about it?
Because I've seen parts of it and the people who went, and you know this as a Beyonce fan, said it wasn't good. Like she wasn't good in it. And I can believe that, because I was like, even when she was announced for it, I was like, the soundtrack? Or, you know, I was like. So I think they'll place her a little bit better. Like she might be a good, like, I don't know if there's a Princess and the Frog sequel or whatever, what's going on, but like, whatever. Like, yeah, just find a place for her talents. I don't think she needs to be attached to something that's already existing. So no more Disney classics. No, no. Mm-mm. And that's for that whole cast, by the way. And I didn't like Aladdin live action either. I don't like live actions. Like, don't do that. But it's Disney, so they're gonna make money anyway. So
I mean, regardless, yeah.
They're gonna do it. So yeah. All right. Well, my shout out is short and sweet. It's a shout out throwback to MTV Hits on I just paid for it, but it's all the old OG MTV shows that me as a millennial loved. And I just wanted to highlight True Life, which I've always loved. I've always loved documentaries. I'm glad everybody's on the documentary kick now, but I used to learn so much queer shit from True Life.
We're
joking
so
about the topics,
queer.
Though. The titles were trash, but you definitely
the titles were terrible.
The titles were horrible, but you got the idea. It would be literally be like
True Life. I drank all the water.
No, or it would just be like, I mean, the language wasn't there yet, but it would be like, True Life. I'm in a relationship with three or four or multiple people. I don't know. They would have some titles.
They never put like the actual definitions. It was just like, you know, like True Life.
Yeah.
Like, I date a black man.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
exactly. Instead of it being like, I'm in an interracial relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, instead of being that, like, I'm in a polyamorous relationship, it was like, I date two other people.
Right. Yeah. Like, that's exactly how it is with the I date a black guy. And it's like, you're in a relationship?
It made it accessible where somebody can put it together and be like, oh yeah, I just watched this thing about this woman who dates two other black guys. And you're just like, okay.
And I get that they didn't want to overcomplicate it. Like, they just wanted to, like, this is literally going to be about this woman dating a black guy. Yep. Like, those two people might not even know the word interracial. So we're not even going to put it in the title. So
we're
they're just,
gonna do it.
We're not going to do it, but
we don't want to insult
so much queer content. So the really good queer topics, very nostalgic for me and everything. And I was just, I'm happy that I'm paying for it amongst the other trashy shows I love, like Next and Room Raiders and Real World and all that. But, shout out to True Life, because that really did teach people a lot of things, and the way they even shot it too. They kind of just let people be like, it is edited, obviously, but
it was,
I feel like they
the
didn't
beautiful
edit
times,
it. Yeah. It was like
when they would beep the words.
Yeah. Or they would just let it go. Like, I feel like now things are like, reality TV is so edited so that it looks a certain way. Obviously they have the cliffhanger for the commercial buildup and stuff like that. But I feel like True Life would just let it. Mm-hmm. You're literally just watching these people. And
next level Jerry Springer. That's all it was.
No, I wouldn't call it Jerry Springer, because even that is like too.
Because they were a part of the beeping, the bleeping, the phrases, and every like that's what I remember of that like time frame between the reality TV shows and like the, you know, the Morris and the Jerrys and whatever else. It was just like the bleeping series.
Well, I would say True Life was never gratuitous in the way that Jerry Springer was.
That is
Jerry Springer.
I would agree.
Like,
that.
And Mari is like trash. Like, they run the same topics. You know, they're doing it to ridicule people. Whereas like True Life would really, it seemed objective. Like, even if the titles were trash, like, you didn't really draw any judgments from it. Whereas like, you know, Jerry and them would play to the crowd. Mari, like, they would play
to that
crowd. They love running through the halls to follow, you know. Like, you know, it was such a thing, right? I told you, like, it's just like it used to be like, all right, like, you know, it was like, I feel like, and especially being a kid of that time, like, Jerry Springer and Mari were big. I mean, they were enormous, but it was just like, at least to me and some of the people I knew, it was like, it got stale, because then it was just like, all right, y'all running the same play, just switching the folks and everything, and the way you could kind of see that they were producing that moment a little bit more.
Right.
Like, again, True Life is just like, the cameras would follow around. They would just like give you a little, like, you know, transition of like what happened to that person, but they just like seemed a little bit more objective, like, with it. But yeah, shout out to True Life, because, you know, outside of Real Sex, I probably learned all my queer stuff from that. Porn wasn't as great as it is now. Couldn't risk continuing to download files back then to learn about queer sex. And get a virus. Couldn't blame that on dad. Don't think he was into lesbian sex. So, you know, shout out to True Life. A lot of good queer content. And I'm going to have fun going through these episodes. Like, I'm starting, like, I'm talking about, like, back to 2006 it goes, where I'm like, oh my God, look at these styles. We, first off, the fashions are horrible. So I love that part of it too. So
it's great.
So nostalgic.
Brilliant. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we are going to give you pre-homework for next week. We are telling you to watch.
Wouldn't it just be homework?
Well, yeah, it's like homework, whatever.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Homework.
It's
pre- like, is this a homework before the homework?
It's pre-homework. It's okay. The thing you do. But yes, hold on. Let me make sure I have the correct name.
I was like, you probably went to better school. You guys probably had pre-homework and homework, I would imagine.
Well, I mean, like before you started school. And then that was what I saw as like pre-homework. Like when they sent home the to-do things and then it was like, then you brought it in. Yeah, that was kind of what that looked like. But anyway.
I never called that pre-homework. I guess that goes there.
That's it. Anyways, we are both watching the documentary Disclosure on Netflix. And Disclosure is amazing. And it fits and shares all of the stories and things that are coming from some of our favorite trans people and maybe some people that you haven't heard of before. But you need to tune in. We're going to watch it. We're going to talk about it next week. Disclosure, it's on Netflix. I was like, has like Laverne Cox in it, if that's all you really need to have and come talk about
it. That's all you need.
But there's a bunch of people in it and we are super excited to watch it. It's going to tell some real stories. There are some moments that some other like famous celebrity trans people have posted that say that some are triggering and things like that. So we want to pre-alert you to that. But it is talking about real life experiences and we are going to watch it and deep dive into that next week. So if you want to be a part of that and not have to miss hearing any parts of our voices by fast forwarding, add it to your watch list this week. And we'll see you then.
Okay, I'm excited for it.
Right.
I'm excited for it.
Well, it's going to be great. All right, y'all. Well, thanks for tuning in. As always, you're the best and we'll see you next week.
Take care. This podcast was brought to you by the Her app, the largest LGBTQ plus dating and community app for women, trans and non-binary folks. Be sure to download the app in the Apple Store or Google Play Store.
Shout out to Sienna Liggins for our amazing soundtrack and Cesar for making us sound like we know what we're doing. Can we talk about things? I'm so sorry that I'm coming.